chapelboro.com. Go there quick and stay a while. chapelboro.com. More of what you live here for. Now News Talk 1360 WCHL presents Side Dish, hosted by Deborah Miller. Tune in for 30 minutes of tasty talk with culinary aficionados, wine connoisseurs, and more. Side Dish is locally produced by News Talk 1360 WCHL. Now let's get to the tasty talk with Deborah Miller.
Welcome to Side Dish. I'm Deborah Miller. I am here on the phone with, gosh, you know, you've turned into one of my favorite people. I've never met you, and I know very little about you, but I'm talking with John Brian Hopkins, all the way from Birmingham, Alabama. And John Brian is the brains behind the website Foodimentary. Thank you for talking with me.
Well, thanks, Deborah. Thanks for calling in. I really appreciate it. Yeah, most people know me as the Foodimentary guy.
Yeah.
You can call me whatever.
No. And John Brian's got a little cold, so we're going to bear with him today. And so Foodimentary, tell me, have you always been a foodie? How did this come about?
No, you know, I came very late in my life to food. Just about 5 years ago, I started paying attention to food. I have to say that I had a full career in interior design for 20-something years, and I had decided that I wanted to do something else. And I was sitting at my kitchen counter one day and I sort of brainstorming myself to what in the world did I want to do. And this word came out, foodimentary. I wrote it down, and then I Googled it, and it came out misspelled. You must be thinking of some other word. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't exist. And I thought, well, isn't that interesting that I could create something that no one else had really, a word that no one else had really thought of before, and I can define it. So that's what I've spent the last couple of years doing, is defining what foodimentary is, which is, you know, a specific way of looking at food, trying to find those aha moments in food and those any way to celebrate food every day. So,
well,
I started a blog soon after, and I didn't really know anything about blogging. This is in 2007, and soon after, within a couple of weeks, I was getting, you know, 10, 20,000 hits a day, which was, you know, completely unexpected.
Where did they come from? Do you know?
Just all over. I was recommended by all these other food people.
Uh-huh.
Everyone seemed to think that I knew what I was talking about, and all I was doing was researching the origins and the of different kinds of foods and the things that people just don't talk about in food. There's lots of websites and people out there that will talk about recipes and everything, that I really concentrate on the stuff that might be forgotten, like the origins of ketchup, the origins and the you know, things in food that people just don't talk about, but you see every single day, and it seems to be working.
So you work on, you get up and post something new every day.
I do. I got on Twitter soon afterwards.
Uh-huh.
This was in 2007, so you can imagine that hardly anyone was on it. I was on Twitter as well as some other social media outlets that didn't seem to work out, like Gowalla and some of the other early Twitter-like entities.
Mm-hmm.
And Twitter became a really important part of what Foodimentary is today, because as soon as I got on, the election was going on, this new social medium called Twitter was just in its very early days, and within a month, I was the 55th most followed person on Twitter in the world. So I was a really, for a short period of time, a pretty influential person on what's become this giant entity called Twitter. And I was the first person to really talk about food on there and know how to talk about it in 140 characters, or actually 120 characters is what I did.
Are all yours 120? Well,
I do almost all of them 120, because then you can retweet with my name on it.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, you'll just have to shorten the content and sort of dumb down what I wrote.
I hadn't even thought about that.
So, but I really created the language of the way a lot of people talk on Twitter. Early on, there was no one there to pay attention to how it worked. And I was advised several food-oriented companies, large corporations, but which I don't do it anymore. But at the time, it was, you know, a lot of these big guys just didn't know what to do, but the people were following them. And I feel real proud to be one of the early pioneers of talking about food in this social media.
Well, I'm proud to be talking with you. I've been following you a pretty long time, and I used to work at a Southern Season, and I did a lot of their tweeting and Facebooking, and I was always retweeting you, and then all of our followers would retweet those tweets. And for all you people out there who don't know what we're talking about, I know it's a funny language, but it's social media, and it's what's happening out there.
Exactly. And, you know, I just happen to be, you know, lucky enough to be one of the early guys. And I think that it's really important that people use the medium to their advantage. One of the things that I had discovered is that people don't want to know your problems.
Right.
They want to know good, positive things. And they want to know things they didn't know before. And they don't have very much to talk about. So if you can give them something that then you can let someone else share, then you're giving a gift of making the medium work. And that's what I'm trying to do, is make it so that people will constantly be sharing and talking and experiencing, you know, what I do about food. So you can just retweet recipes so much that, you know, as well as I do, you can only cook a certain amount of meals a day.
Right.
But food knowledge can be infinite.
Well, every time I forget to post on or share on my Facebook page, whatever the today is National Whatever Day, I get people starting to post saying, well, what is it? What's today? You haven't posted anything.
That's so funny. I'm recovering from a cold, and I got up late this morning. And I tweet live. I don't automate anything. A lot of big guys, and when I say big guys, I have close to 350,000 followers on Foodimentary, which is a pretty large number. And so therefore, I have a lot of people waiting around to hear what the National Food Holiday is. So,
yeah, we want to celebrate.
I'm sorry.
We want to celebrate.
Absolutely. We want to celebrate food. And I've become sort of the king of the National Food Holidays. I have a website or a blog just dedicated to the food holidays called foodimentary101.com. And it's just lessons in food. It's just your daily dose of everything you needed to know that happened on that day in the world of food.
Well,
and I'm real proud that now you have a place to go, because otherwise, if you Google around, you just can't seem to find all that information. And it took me years to pull it all together, and it's free without ads. And
John Bryan, I hate to interrupt you. I got to run to break, but we'll be right back. You're listening to Side Dish on WCHL 1360.
We now return to Side Dish, News Talk 1360 WCHL's locally produced program dedicated to all things food. Download this and all episodes of Side Dish from WCHL's website, chapelboro.com.
Welcome back to Side Dish. I'm Deborah Miller. I am on the phone today with John Bryan Hopkins, who is the founder of one of my favorite websites and tweets and Facebook pages, Foodimentary. And before, in the last segment, you were talking about that you had gotten up a little bit late this morning. And I think we were talking about how people get crazy when you don't get them the information in enough time.
Oh, yeah. You know, I have a large followership. So therefore, there's a lot of people waiting around for me to tweet the morning tweet that people are going to share celebrating food. Usually it's the food holiday. And, this morning I got up an hour and a half later than usual, and I see, you know, Foodimentary, what's today's date? Well, I mean, is there not a food holiday today? And, of course it was, so I was glad to experience it. But it's sort of neat to know that people are sort of waiting around for for me to tell them some information that they can share on Twitter, as well as Facebook and all the other mediums that I'm on. So,
what a sense of power. It's kind of nice, isn't it?
I don't know about that. I don't take it too seriously. I wish I could say that, that I think that I'm just playing along, and it's so fun. I feel so refreshed to know that I'm very, very new to the world of food, and I feel like that's one of the positive things about what Foodimentary is that, I'm not one of these dyed-in-the-wool foodies that have been doing it for their whole lives,
mm-hmm.
and I don't have any snobbiness to it. It's just I'm interested in all kinds of food, whether it be fast food or food that are very complex to eat or make. There's all kinds of I just think that my approach is more like real people would look at food. And, that's sort of the fun thing for me is that I can learn something that one day and within 10 minutes put it on Twitter for the world to know about. And that's new information to me, and I'm excited about it. And people can sort of tell through my language that I think it's interesting,
Well, so a couple questions. One, what is today's food holiday?
I'm sorry?
What is today's food holiday?
Oh, today's food holiday is National Cherry Cobbler Day.
Ooh, one of my favorites. My mom used to make a killer cherry
it's
cobbler.
Wonderful. Well, a lot of these national food holidays, because, the world sort of thinks of Foodimentary as the place to go for anything that has to do with national food holidays or week holidays or, celebrating national food month. Like, this is also National Salad Month, which is a great way to sort of reinvent and think about different ways of eating and preparing salads. So just, again, a way to celebrate food.
Well, so do you make money off of this?
I write for several publications. I do some social media advisory to food companies that are food people in the industry. I have, I'm sort of waiting around to see what I want to do with Foodimentary. I do have a major book deal with a large publisher that is under the Foodimentary brand and or name, mm-hmm. and I am working on several books right now to be published, and hopefully by this fall, I will be doing a book tour. So we're working on all that right now.
Oh my gosh, how exciting!
People had approached me from day one and wanted to do some kinds of books. I just have been holding off because I think that Foodimentary is such a broad thing. I don't want to, do just a little calendar or something that, that would just be, in the dustbin within a couple of months. I'm looking at trying to create something of a substance so that mm-hmm. people could sort of use it as a real reference to those things that people don't talk about or use in the world of food.
So, real quick, can you tell us what is the history of ketchup?
I'm sorry?
What is the history of ketchup?
Oh, ketchup. Well, ketchup was actually a vinegary mixture. You would have used like a vinegar. It was not tomato-based. It was just sort of a mixture of whatever spices and things that you would have had around, and it was just sort of an extra sauce. It was almost like a Tabasco without the spice.
Oh.
So it was... I was in the museum of the High Museum in Georgia a couple of weeks ago, and they had a service of silver that was some fine service of silver. And I looked on it, and it had salt. It had a salt bin, pepper, vinegar, and ketchup.
Whoa.
And I thought, wow. So, of course, I researched it all. And, ketchup really started out as a sauce that you would eat with shellfish. And there's several origins, but tomatoes didn't enter the what ketchup is today until 100 years ago or so. It really was not until it was mass produced.
Oh, my gosh.
It's sort of like yellow mustard. Yellow mustard was created by the French brothers to put on hot dogs at the World's Fair when the hot dogs were first revealed. So most people don't know that yellow mustard was actually created for one food in particular, which was a hot dog.
Well, have you ever been to the Mustard Museum?
I have not. I wish I could say that I travel around and I talk to a lot of people about social media and stuff, but I read a whole bunch, but I haven't been to it. Where is it located?
Oh, my gosh. You know, I don't even remember. I want to say it's like in – it's Michigan or somewhere like that. And I think you can Google him and Mustard Museum and Mr. Mustard and all that good stuff. So what's your average day like?
I wake up and I tweet about the food. Then I go, I work with in all realms of social media. So therefore I am always looking at trending topics all over the world on Twitter. So I usually spend about an hour just kind of finding out and feeling what the day on Twitter is going to be about. The same way with Facebook. And then I go to my little guys, which is Urban Spoon.
Oh, I love Urban Spoon.
I usually go on there, and I'm one of the guys on there that actually works on the restaurants and on the different comments and things like that to see how, around the whole South, because I'm from Birmingham, I'm in charge of sort of doing the southern part of it.
Well, I hate to interrupt you again. I've got to go to break. But don't go away. We're talking with John Brian Hopkins. You're listening to Side Dish on WCHL 1360.
We now return to Side Dish, News Talk 1360 WCHL's locally produced program dedicated to all things food. Download this and all episodes of Side Dish from WCHL's website, chapelboro.com.
Welcome back to Side Dish. I'm Deborah Miller. I'm talking today with John Brian Hopkins, who is Mr. Foodimentary. And before we went to break, we were just starting to talk about Urban Spoon. Tell everybody.
Yeah, Urban Spoon is one of the very first, or really just one of the best ways to find restaurants, usually through an app, which is an application that you would have on your any kind of device, mostly your phone or my iPhone is what I basically use. And it's a rating system that is done by the public about different restaurants that are all over the country, if not the world right now. And it's a great way to just kind of find a restaurant and get real ideas of what people talk, have to say about restaurants or where they're located and, where do real people eat in these areas and not just what's rated by some, large entity.
It's a very cool little app. If you have an iPhone, you can just shake your phone and it will – it's almost like a slot machine, right? Well,
you can just – it'll help you. It's sort of – the gimmick is that you can shake it, and if you didn't know where you wanted to eat, it'll find some place, and maybe it's a place you hadn't thought about before.
And you can – you get, it's in three categories. I think it's the type of food, the cost, and the – is it the ratings?
Is that the type of food, the cost, and the ratings?
Yeah.
Yes.
So you can lock in something. So you could say, only find me Chinese in Chapel Hill.
Chinese in Chapel Hill, and if you wanted a certain price point, of course, not that many are high end, but yeah. And what is exciting to me is that I like to search around and find the mom and pop. So you had asked me before, what do I do during the day, and I'm that guy that sits around and finds the mom and pops that need to be celebrated. And like I said, what I do with Foodimentary is I celebrate food every day. And finding these people that work every single day to bring food to the table to sell to people, in the social media realm, they definitely don't have time to do that. So I'm glad to participate and help, put them on the map. But I also do it with Yelp.
Yep.
Which is sort of a check-in kind of service. And I also do it with Foursquare. And I'm one of the very first people to ever be on Foursquare. So I'm, you know, like I said to you earlier, you know, I'm like the, I'm the food guy.
The social media,
social
food
media,
guy. Yeah.
So.
That, well, that's really exciting. I mean, I think, you know, I sort of recognize you were a pioneer in that, and I have really enjoyed both personally and professionally following you. And now I post and I don't tweet every day, but I do Facebook every day, and typically I will repost your Facebook posts. And I mean, my friends love it, and hopefully they've now started to follow you as well.
Well, I, you know, I think that a lot of people lose interest in Twitter, and the best thing that to do from in my perspective is just connect your Twitter account directly to Facebook. So every time you post something on Twitter, it'll go to your Facebook, and it sort of makes it so it's not as redundant.
Yeah, you can do that.
I hate to sort of lose friends on Twitter because they'll keep going back to Facebook, and it makes it so it sort of, you know, does both.
Well, I hate that we have to go. I've enjoyed this, and I'm so glad that you took the time out of your morning to come and talk with us, and I'll let you know when this is going to air so you can link to it. How about that?
Wonderful. You just let me know. It was great talking to you.
I hope you
have a great week.
You too, and get over your cold. Thank
we'll
you.
Try.
Thank you so much. You've been listening to Side Dish on WCHL 1360.
Thanks for listening to Side Dish. Download this and all episodes of Side Dish from WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. Chapelboro.com, more of what you live here for. Side Dish is an exclusive broadcast of News Talk 1360, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's News Talk and Tar Heel Station.